The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus Christ. Often when we hear about sin, especially in a religious context like here at church, I think it's just bad stuff. Things that keep us away from God, maybe things that could send us to hell, and so we need to go to confession, and that's uncomfortable in its own way. We just think of it as kind of bad stuff that's out there, maybe stuff that we do or stuff that almost happens to us. But throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, there's actually 3 different words they use to refer to sin. All have kind of different and unique meanings, not to say that one is right and the others are wrong, but to show us kind of different aspects of sin. One word they use in the Old Testament is to just miss the mark, to acknowledge that God has a standard for us, how he expects us to live, and when we sin, we miss the mark, like somebody shooting an arrow from a bow and missing the bullseye. Maybe it's because we aren't practiced enough in it, we haven't built up virtue, or just because the wind came and life happened and blew us off course. For whatever reason, we've missed the mark and kind of the intention to try to do better the next time. Certainly that's true of sin often. It's just us missing the mark and kind of recalibrating to try to follow Christ more closely. Another word is used to describe what's often translated as iniquity, which is kind of a weird word for us in English, but it just means to make something dirty. It's as if God gave us a brand new white garment, much like we receive with the white garment in baptism. But we have sullied it. We've gotten it dirty with dirt or food or something else. That God gave us a great gift in freeing us from sin and creating us to be with him. But we have messed it up. Again, both of those are helpful in ways of understanding sin. But there's a third word that I think we don't often think about in relation to sin. But in the Old Testament, it talks about sin as an obstacle. As if it's a stumbling block or just a big rock in the road that prevents us from getting where we want to go. That it's an obstacle, a physical barrier between us and God. Something preventing us from loving the people around us as we want to and as God calls us to. I think that understanding of sin as an obstacle can help us see what Jesus is getting at in the gospel. Because I think he certainly wants us to be kind and compassionate to those around us in need. But I actually think he wants to take the scribe much deeper than simply saying that. I think he wants to show the scribe that there are obstacles that the scribe has put in the way of being like Christ. And that really the life work for the scholar and for each of us as disciples of Christ is to do the work of rooting out those obstacles, rooting out those sins that make it hard for us to love God with everything that we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because when God originally created us, going back to Adam and Eve in the garden, he made us with pure hearts. Hearts that were like God's, that wanted to do as much as we could for others. Not giving just an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, or just giving what other people, what they deserve. But that we actually went out of our way to look to generously love and support those around us, even those we didn't know. That's what the first reading is talking about in Deuteronomy. When Moses is giving the people the law and they're getting ready to enter the promised land, he's not trying to tell them that the law is going to be easy, but he does want to tell them this isn't actually that new of a thing. This isn't something totally foreign to you that you've never heard of. It's actually just taking us back to how God originally created us. To that original state of grace where we could freely receive God's goodness and freely share it with others. Choose the words of sin. To go back to a time that there wasn't these obstacles. There weren't these things that caused our hardness of hearts that would lead us to not love as God loves. That it's not far from us. Again, that doesn't mean that it's always easy, but it's actually meant to be a natural and normal thing for us to live that generous love of God. But as we live throughout our lives, our hearts become hardened. It's harder to trust others or just to have certain assumptions about other people that we don't want to care for and be generous with. These become little and sometimes very big obstacles to becoming like Christ. Those are the things that God wants to help us to remove. Reminds me, I'm pretty sure I've used this story before in a Sunday homily, but when I first got to Conception Seminary in Missouri, I had spent 2 years at KU, and so I was not very happy about going to school in Missouri, but I said, okay, Lord, this is the worst thing I have to do. I think I can do it, but we'll find out. I don't know. It's going to be pretty hard. And then I moved into Conception. I moved into the dorms, and the guy that was literally in the room next to me, my neighbor, was also coming in. He had spent 2 years in college at the University of Missouri, which, if you don't know, they are just the worst. So he introduced himself. He says, I'm Jeff. I went to Mizzou. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. He's like, well, why is that? I was like, because Mizzou's the worst, of course. And we traded back some friendly banter and some jokes. And later that night, I prayed about it. And it might seem very silly, but I realized that him and I are in the same spot studying to be priests. And sure, we could have some good, clean fun with where we went to school. But ultimately, God was calling me to love him like a brother, like a neighbor. And how I had been the one that put the obstacle in the way. Right? I had been the one that had listened to what the people from Missouri did to Lawrence and how he still held a grudge and how they're the worst. And it wasn't anybody else's fault that nobody could change that in my heart. It was me that had to come about how to remove that obstacle, how to get over that sin, if you want to use that word, so that I can love my brother well, so I could love my neighbor. And that was a great realization for me because I think up to that point, everything seemed so external. Right? It seemed like, okay, here's the Ten Commandments. Here's the examination of conscience before you go to confession. And if you check any of those boxes, then you got to say that you're sorry for them. And that's true to a certain extent. But I think that's like the basic understanding of the law that the scribes and the Pharisees and the scholar of the law have in today's gospel. That it's something outside of them that just forces them to not be perfect. Jesus wants us to use those as a way to learn how to be like God, but to ultimately realize that I'm the one that put the obstacles there. That it was God that made me to be generous to people even like Jeff from Mizzou, but it's me that's throughout my life put little things that make it harder to love them generously. And so that's not going to be easy, but Jesus invites us to back to that original state to say, do the work of getting rid of those obstacles so that you can be like the Samaritan who comes upon this person and doesn't worry about what he should do or shouldn't do. It simply says, what can I do for my neighbor who needs my help right now? I think that's really the difference that Jesus wants to point out in this parable. That it's not that the priest and the Levite are bad and the Samaritan is good. Maybe that's just my reading because I'm now a priest and I feel sorry for him. But I think the people in the crowd would have understood that the priest and the Levite, sure, they could have been busy, which led them to not take care of this person. But it's likely that they were headed to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice in the temple, not just for themselves, but for all the people. And so if the priest was to become ritually unclean by touching blood or touching someone near death, it would take him 2 weeks to perform all the purification rituals. So it's not just that he would be inconvenienced by this, but he's saying, Lord, in order to go and do your work, I can't take the time to be interrupted by this. I know that I can't get close to that, and so it's not my problem. But in some ways, instead of realizing what he could do, the priest and the Levite are just focused on what they can't do. They know they can't get close to the man that's been beaten up, and so they just say, well, I hope somebody else will take care of it. But the opposite of that is the Samaritan traveler. The Samaritan who's moved by compassion, not just to fix the man that got beat up, but to literally take out of his own pocket, to use his own resources to care for his neighbor. Not just doing the minimum, not just making sure he wasn't going to die there on the roadside, but actually doing all he could to bring him back to full health. To giving not what the man that was beaten up deserved, not what he could give him back, but simply giving generously as he could. Simply seeing that person as a brother and as God sees us. Because God so often gives us not what we deserve or merit, but out of his goodness and generosity, gives us what he thinks we need. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that we certainly can be like the Good Samaritan, that we'll react with compassion to the needs of those around us. Let us also pray that we can get back to that original state of holiness, that original state of grace, that we can notice those obstacles in our own hearts that make it hard for us to love God with everything we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that with the help of Christ, we can root out all those obstacles so that we can joyfully go out and live like he originally intended us to, loving him with everything that we have, seeing the example of Christ and the saints, and seeking to imitate them in all that we do. That like the scholar and the Samaritan in the story, we can go and do likewise, treating our neighbor as Christ has treated us by saving us from our sins.